All right. You're listening to Cohen Meanderer. My name is Jason Demereaux. I've actually got something that I want to talk about as opposed to just freewheeling whatever. I was having problems getting to sleep last night. My mind was racing about what I should be doing and such. And that's a bad state to be in. Well, for me. Now, I don't know, some people I must not think very much. I think too much. And so I've had to cultivate a different way of being. Sometimes it's good to be thinking hard, but there are times when it does, it can drive you insane. It can make you go nuts. I think I have walked away from jobs because I was just thinking too hard about this and that and possibilities and troubles. And I am not unhappy with how my life has turned out, so I don't really look at it as a horrible thing, but I often need to take time and settle, and I call it putting your brain in neutral. It's something that I started trying to do probably about 50 or 20 years ago. And I got pretty good at it. I remember, I don't know if it's an analogy or a metaphor. I've never understood the interest in trying to figure out what's what. It doesn't really, you know, when it's like, well, you're really smart. It's like, oh. He told this story about that the mind is a stage and there's always a play being acted out on it. And you have to think good thoughts. You have to be surrounded by good things so that you can drive out bad thoughts. And I think this was a foil against pornography, against, you know, I think that was basically the basic thought in that particular thing. But it can be applied to a lot of bad thoughts that can be turned into bad actions and onward. Anyway, I'm opening up a summer sausage for breakfast. And of course, there's some liquid inside of it. The brine, for lack of a better word. And it always gets all over me, so I've got to do it a certain way to make sure that it doesn't cause problems. And I think I've already failed. Gracious King. That's probably where my flat tire is. My less than full tire is probably on the passenger side because my car keeps wanting to lean over that way. I don't know if I really have tips for how to achieve this state or whether it is universally a good state. I don't know. I remember the kids when they were younger. I don't know where they came up with this book. I don't know if Lisa bought it at some point. It was being sold at like Deseret Book. And it was basically some Latter-day Saint person who, it was a book series. I forget the name of it because I don't like it. I don't think we have the book anymore because I didn't like the main premise of it, which was astral projection, sort of. He didn't call it that because he knows that that's associated with kind of the occult and witchcraft and things of that sort. I used to listen to this fella called Lynn Bryce, and he was always trying to come up with better things to do, and he did fire signs. He was a music guy. He wrote a lot of the theme and incidental music to Hanna-Barbera, early Hanna-Barbera cartoons. Ones that either weren't very successful or were very early and he got rid of later. Magilla Gorilla. I forget. So anyway, Lynn Bryce, he's gone now. He wanted to buy Osman Studios and kind of turn it into kind of a dance hall for kids, but with music of less evil intent. Or no evil intent, actually. Anyway, his fire sign came to our stake and to the Clovis. I guess we were a ward then. I'm not really sure. Clovis. Anyway, the new addition to the church was not yet completed, but they decided to cordon off part of it that was done and use it for this big fire sign. They had all the kids there and all the parents. Just had everybody there. Lynn Bryson was selling tapes, doing his little thing. And I didn't buy all of his tapes at all. He had a ton. So yeah, it was kind of a sales thing, and I don't know why the stake tolerated it, but they did. And it was mostly about having good influences in your life. And one of the things that he spoke against was this desire that many musicians had to get out of their bodies. And it was mostly drug-induced. And so there was this whole thing. And it was called astral projection. It was something very, it was considered kind of an advanced form of the occult. So when my kids showed up with this book, like I said, I don't know where we got it. I don't know if Lisa bought it or if it was given to my kids from somebody like at church. This is why you always have to be careful. You can't just let your kids go willy-nilly. Anyway, and a big feature of this book was the fact that this person could solve mysteries, figure out people's intentions by getting out of his body, getting his spirit out of his body, and his spirit going and seeing what was going on, unseen. And so that was kind of the premise of this book series. I think we only had one. The kids said, "Oh, let's get another one." It's like, and I was just adamantly against it. But you have to understand that in my family, if I'm against something and Lisa doesn't have a problem with it, I guess as a group, we don't have a problem with it. Anyway, so I don't know if we bought another one. I never read it. I just saw the premise, and the kids told me about it, and I said, I am sorry. I am adamantly against separating your spirit from your body. Now, I think this particular idea caught hold of my oldest daughter, and that it and several other incidents led to my daughter going way off the rails and eventually leaving the gospel and, frankly, leaving the family. She always says that she was disowned, and it's like, nobody disowned you. You walked away, and you wanted nothing to do with us. Except in so far that you could be the main influence over your siblings. And she was constantly trying to put a wedge between me and Lisa. And it didn't work, thank goodness. I'm grateful. I bring this up only because I know that switching your mind into neutral could be construed as opening yourself up to bad influences. But I can tell you, it can also open you up to good influences. There was a story told by a general authority, I think he was a 70, and I am always a little leery of 70s. You know, if the gospel that we have was basically just a filtration of thoughts and concepts that have been come up with by the 70s of the church, I think this church would be in horrible shape. There's a good reason why a great number of the apostles spent at least some time as 70s, just so the brethren can get kind of a sense for them, get some feedback on them before they, you know, because I'm sorry, an apostle, your shields are to be down. You are to listen to what an apostle says and apply it in your life. That's what you're supposed to do. If an apostle tells you to leap off a cliff, you should probably leap off the cliff, trusting that the Lord will sanctify that action for good. I apply that to apostles and prophets, but I don't apply it to 70s. You can get all kinds of interesting ideas from a 70. Anyway, one of the 70s, once upon a time, was telling a story. I don't know if it's a true story. I don't know anything about the story. This young man, he would take music to bed with him. And I think the impression was that it was music with a bad message. I don't know if he just kept a stereo going all night long or if he had earphones or something. He happens to have very old stories, so you have to put it in the old vernacular. Anyway, I think it was that he had a stereo and he would play it in his room all night long, even while he slept. And apparently this kid was having problems. And the child's dead grandfather was sent to try to help straighten out this kid. It was a grandfather dearly loved by this young man when he was younger. And he was alive, you know. And I don't know exactly how it got to the point that for some reason the stereo wasn't working one night and the grandfather could finally come and appear to his grandson, you know, give him encouragement, help him, try to get him back on a good path. And the grandfather was sad. He said, I was trying to get to you for a long time, but I couldn't do it because you always had your stereo on. And because of the music that was coming out of your stereo, I couldn't be here. But now that it's gone, you know, I was able to come and visit you and tell you to change your ways, and the kid really listened to his grandfather, and that's kind of how the story went. We need to allow, and I think general authorities have talked about maybe quiet times, or, you know, who was talking about it recently? I think it was probably something I saw on YouTube about the hours from 3 to 5 a.m. is when you're going to get the bulk of your inspiration after you've gotten probably enough sleep. Your body wakes up or there's something that your mind's been mulling over. I think everybody's had that circumstance. You go to sleep with a problem and you wake up and suddenly there's the answer and you go, wow, this is amazing. You can cultivate that, and that's kind of what I'm trying to keep your mind still, because often we get in our own way. We trip all over ourselves. This was part of a talk I was going to do the week before last, the church. I was supposed to give a talk in sacrament meeting, and the person that was also speaking with me, they took up the bulk of the time. I only had about 10 minutes left, so I jettisoned a lot of what the talk was going to be and just talked about being on the right path, faced in the right direction, moving forward, and that you will get to your destination, whatever the destination that road is supposed to get you to. And talked about salvation, exaltation mostly, and said, if you are working to be on the road to exaltation, doing all the things that you're supposed to be doing to try to keep yourself in a good way. It was all about in the good way. And you're facing the right direction toward the Savior, and you're moving forward. Even if you're moving forward at a snail's pace, this is ultimately, you're going to make the goal. And this is going to be good, you know? And all those wonderful things we talk about for exaltation and returning to live with Heavenly Father is how most people say it, because I guess the whole concept of exaltation doesn't get talked about a lot by people, because, you know, it really offends Christians. You know, they don't have a concept of becoming like God. That's considered blasphemous to them. And you go, that's fine. Well, then you're never going to be like that. If you detest it, you know, you're just not going to put forth the necessary effort to get it. And you go, oh, well, anyway. So if you're on the road and you're faced in the right direction and you're making movements forward, I think that when you are able to calm your mind, which I need to do, because I don't know if some of you have this problem, I do. that your mind just races and races and races all the time. You know, if you've listened to these recordings much, it's like, Kai, Nemrod just bounces from thing to thing, and he's just, his mind is always just, apparently Lisa's doesn't do this, and I don't know if it's good or bad. It may just simply be different. I don't know. And it's very important for somebody like me to cultivate this slowing down the mind. And the only way I have to do it is just to say, I consciously push aside thoughts and I just sit there or lay there. It's usually when I'm laying down. And I try to think of nothing. And for me, this gives the Lord more of an opportunity to get a word in edgewise. Have the Spirit be able to put things in. I'll be honest how I've made any progress I've made lately comes from the idea of if a thought stays with you, you probably need to act on it. And I take some solace in the fact that either Elder Hales or Elder Scott, these were apostles of the past. one of them spoke about the whole idea about how to act on inspiration. And of course, everybody always asks the question. And I think Elder Bednar has done a talk on this lately that really has gotten some traction in a lot of areas. And the biggest thing is, this is, act like it is coming from the Spirit. If it's not a good thing to do, the Lord will let you know it through the Spirit or by hedging up your way or something. And that's really all there is to it. So I started taking opportunities. I started seeking for some opportunities too. Now, I don't often seek for opportunities, but sometimes they just come to me. Lately, I've had a lot of recruiters. A lot. I've had a good number of recruiters come and look for me and have a job for me. My present job, I was recruited to very quickly too. Let me tell you, it was like on a Thursday, I got contacted by the recruiter about a job at Canada Air Force Base, and it was like, oh, okay. I said, sure, you know, I'll interview for it. And the interview happened the next Monday or Tuesday. And I was offered it, I think, a day or two after. And bada bing, bada boom, here I am doing this as opposed to an early, quiet retirement. You know, I guess I really wasn't supposed to stop yet. So, anyway. How you get inspiration is first, and this is really kind of little pieces from this talk I had, is to open yourself up to opportunities. Always pray, and this is in essence the prayer I always pray in reference to these sorts of things. Heavenly Father, I'm going to pursue this. If it's something that's good for me, good for my family, help it to happen. You know, I know Heavenly Father's really good at manipulating circumstances for our good and to accomplish His goals, which is our exaltation. So I pray that, along with the caveat of, Heavenly Father, if this is a bad idea, if it shouldn't happen, let something happen to stop it. Because I can tell you, getting and actually getting a job is almost kind of a miracle of a whole lot of things kind of coming together. So if a job isn't supposed to have, it isn't going to be good for you, shouldn't happen, when you give the Lord the opportunity to mess it up, it's really, really easy. You know, you can just say that there's one person that's going to listen to the interview being done and say, you know what, I just didn't like him. We need to keep looking for somebody. And it doesn't need to be this guy. Well, let's just keep looking for somebody else. You know, we can circle back if we don't find anybody better. But I just should not have that guy. And you go, see, it says it's already half destroyed anyway. Like I said, getting jobs, especially in the current climate, where most of the jobs you get aren't going to be because of friends and neighbors doing stuff for you. I can't get those jobs. My friends and neighbors know very little about what I tend to do for work. And they have no insights to that. Really, the first time, well, you know, I've had a few things that happen like that. When I went on PGS, it was because of a client who kind of put me on to it, that her husband worked at one of these places. So he put me on to that. So that was kind of a friends and neighbors thing. And when I came off the boat and I was doing, after I had gone school teaching and they were just looking desperately for somebody who could do a teaching computer class. And I'm not sure I really did a very good job at all. I'm not a teacher. Nor do I want to go through the effort of becoming a public school teacher, even though I did what was required to make it happen. I got a teacher's license from being kind of the substitute teacher at the prison inmates, because I was also doing their technical work for various things. They had kind of a computer lab in there, and I was in charge of the computer. I don't really remember really fixing a lot of stuff there. But I did do my substitute teaching, was horrible at it. But that got me my level one license. Then I went and taught at San Jose for a year for computers, and then a little bit for home economics, which I'm not sure I did get in home economics either. I was constantly just doing a bad job anyway. And I got my level two then, that said I was a professional teacher, which is hilarious because I think it was mostly just a sop to get me to go away. Anyway. So, because that's what people have to do with trained teachers, is you can't drub them out of the whole profession particularly, because they spent 4 years getting these credentials to be a teacher. So they're somewhat invested in staying a teacher somehow. If the school you're at right now doesn't like you as a teacher, they mostly conceptualize you going out and being a teacher someplace else. That's really desperate, because that's one of the things about education. There's always going to be some desperation in teaching. Anyway, so I don't know why I got onto that. The job that followed that was kind of a friend's and a friend's job. You know, I was being kind of the assistant coordinator of the local health council. And, you know, I kind of get the impression that everybody's just being really kind to me. And I'm just an odd bird, and I'm an odd bird among odd birds, too. You know, when they say, oh, well, he's one of those kinds of guys. He's probably a gamer. And you go, no, I'm not. Are you interested in gaming? He said, nope. And I don't really have the aptitude for it. Can I be honest? I'm not really that good at this stuff. So anyway, so when you're going after opportunities, I've got to be really honest. I don't know I don't know my appeal. I've just done things, and they're really esoteric things. There's a need for it. I'm mostly a Linux system administrator, and that is a skill set that is not very common. And so I'm always going to tend to have a job. Are they going to be around Tucumcari, New Mexico? No. I've got to go someplace else, you know. So it's really one of those things where why am I here? And Lisa and I, it's really because we have a free house there. A house is paid for. And there's really something wonderful to be said for that kind of a circumstance. Even though Tucumcari as a town is kind of, I mean, it's a very good town, to be honest. And there's just a whole lot of, you know, it's somewhat, what's a good word for it? It lacks. If you're wanting to improve your life, and I think everybody should want to improve their life, Tucumcari, New Mexico may be a good place to start. You know, if you've just hit rock bottom, Tucumcari is a pretty good place to hit rock bottom. You know, you kind of fall into town. But the most important thing is that once you get any kind of interesting things at all, you probably need to get out of town. Not that you can't do outside stuff. I'm constantly impressed by Chris Manuelli. He's a good guy. And he's very capable, and I think he's very capable and competent. Anyway, and he's doing fiber work for Plateau Telecom, which means he'll always have a little bit of work to be doing, especially when they're laying fiber for a lot of big things. Now, if the government decides that it's not interested in throwing any money at it, it's going to die. I don't remember what Chris's education is. I don't know if he went to college particularly. I think he did, although I don't know if he finished. Anyway, so there's little piecemeal stuff you can do. I got the job at Mexico State University doing all the technical work for a third of the state. And Tucumcari, they said, well, he lives in Tucumcari. And you go, well, that's, you know. They had always pictured that it would be somebody based in Clovis, which didn't matter to me, but I was based in Tucumcari, which was really nice, although I had to travel a lot. And, well, anyway. That was good. So, okay, I'm sorry, needing to get back to the original thought, which was you take these opportunities, and then your prayer needs to be, if this is a good thing for me and my family. But it happened. Because let me tell you, getting a job is much harder than not getting a job. So if it's a bad idea, the Lord doesn't have to do very much at all to make sure that you don't get the job. How about that for easy? You know, you want to give the Lord opportunities to interject himself into your life. This is toward your, I don't know what it is, a mission. At the end of the day, it's mostly about giving me the means. My patriarch blessing talks about the fact that I'm going to have means to be able to be an influence in the work of the Lord. And the jobs I get certainly have means. Do I make six figures? I do. And it's good. It's good, it's good. When people do me favors, I go, you know what, you don't have to do me any favors. Why? It's because I've got money. I can compensate you for this. If there's something that you need, let me know and you can have it. So, I was up early, and I mind me, my mind was just racing about 100 things. Now I don't even remember what exactly it was racing about. I'm sure it had something to do with work and circumstances, how to juggle this and how to juggle that, and how on earth are we going to handle this and handle that. And it's like, you know what, I don't have to figure this out. It says, it's already established. It said, all I have to do is be told exactly how they want it to be done to make it so that this happens. And because they're doing it in other places, it's already quite established. You know, I've gotten this hard drive, and it contains most of the installation. Well, no, it does just contain all the installation media needed for the application that I am an engineer for. The biggest thing is, though, because of the security posture, where these things are introduced, it has to be done a certain way to make sure that these pieces of equipment are not somehow polluted, you know, so that secret information doesn't get out. So that comes up anyway. So yeah, when you're looking in the right, when you're facing the right direction, when you're on the right road, that's actually out of order. But and you're moving forward, you can open yourself up to several things, and those things will, and you'll find miracles happen. And I would tell the story about how I got the Sandy car, or how I got the boat. And I think the Sandy car story is a lot better, but I've told that at church and taken up a lot of time. And that was, everybody, I just get the impression that everybody has their own different idea about me telling such stories, and it's never a good thing. Usually they think, well, you think you're all that. You go, I am just taking advantage of some tools that I think our Heavenly Father wants us to use to get closer to Him, to make it so that we can feel the Spirit. How important feeling the Spirit is right now, and how to access His voice. And one of the most important things is to quiet yourself, quiet your surroundings, and then quiet your mind. That's why people say, I think it was a C.S. Lewis thing, in the scriptures, but I think Benjamin Franklin said it too, you know, go to sleep early. I think it's the Dr. Cummins, you know, or it may be like Psalms or something, retire early to your bed and wake up early. You know, your mind will be invigorated, things like that. And I've always been kind of like that, you know. That's why when these people have these late meals at like 7 or 8 o'clock at night, it's like, guys, it's my bedtime. I shouldn't be eating right now. Lisa especially has problems. And they're increasingly digestive. I figured if she really went through the effort of kind of looking at this stuff and figuring out what's going on, she's probably riddled with tumors and cancers. And she's probably nigh on to death. And I don't like to think about that. I know she doesn't like to think about that. Her joints have gotten so difficult to deal with. We've got a health share that could help with these things. But, I don't know. Anyway, the sun is coming up over the horizon. You're listening to, well, I don't know if I'm done yet, but I might as well be. We're coming up on 50 minutes, and I think I've said what I needed to say. You know, as I've tried to quiet my mind, and let me tell you, there's nothing like being out in the desert at the crash site, in a boat, everything closed up, and there's really nothing, I mean, there's nothing, it's quiet, dead quiet. Occasionally you'll hear far off a dog bark or the coyotes calling out to each other or something. I don't know exactly what coyotes are doing, you know. But anyway, but it's really quiet, and you sit there and you listen to things, or you just let the quietness kind of envelop you. And of course, your tendency is just to go to sleep because you're not being disturbed by things. And of course, you tend to do it early because there's no point staying up late. You're not watching. It's not like you're watching some movie. It's not like you're doing anything. Once it's dark, it's just you just go to sleep. And so your body only needs so many hours of sleep. And so you tend to wake up. And you wake up at the wee hours of the morning, and let me tell you, it says things come at the wee hours of the morning. Make sure you read your scriptures. Make sure you do good things to leave the last things in your mind. Good things to have your mind ruminate over. While you're sleeping, it keeps doing stuff while you're sleeping. And that's when you get the whole thing of, well, I went to bed with this problem, didn't know what to do about it, went to sleep on it. Woke up in the morning, and there was the answer. Ding! Exactly what I needed to do. And I've noticed that that's happened so much in my life, too. And you go, and so you start, if you want to have experiences akin to that, you need to cultivate those situations. Going to bed early. Don't sit there and leave your radio with rock and roll music, or country music even, with music going. You know, and I know some people who do like folk. I don't know. Maybe that helps. Maybe that hinders. I don't know. Experiment with it. Find out. Let us know. Let us know how that goes. I've never needed a white noise machine. Anyway, so yeah, that was kind of the talk I had going, and it just happened to come up again because last night my poor mind was racing so hard on these. And I just said, you know what, Demro, you used to be able to just switch off your brain and just static. You know, maybe that's that white noise thing. Anyway. And, there's that now. If anybody's watched movies, I don't remember watching Poltergeist particularly, but that seemed to be kind of a thing that was tied to, static. That if you let your TV stay on after they had signed off the air, you know, that was back in the days when your television station didn't run 24 hours a day, particularly. They would do the national anthem, da 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 da, da, da. And then it would go, shh, because they would turn off the transmitter, and so all you were getting was static. This was the days before digital television, so this isn't a concept you would readily have unless you listen to the radio and you don't have it tuned to anything. Then you'll get some analog static. And there was movies that, you know, evil lurked in the static. And I think it was actually a tool of Satan to tell you, don't have nothing going on. Satan's all about always have something going on. You know, he wants you to party and get drunk and get whacked out on drugs to the point to where you pass out. And then you go, oh my gosh, what did I do? And you have to understand that on some level, that gives an end for demon possession. And when you hear about, well, what did I do? Oh, we had sex. Diddle, diddle, and you go, I wasn't even there. And you go, yeah, it's most likely a spirit while you are out of commission stuck into your body and, you know, seduce somebody. And yeah, you got knocked up and oh boy, this is what you get for doing stuff. There are spirits, both good and evil, out there. And you want to be very careful. I don't like astral projection because when you take your spirit out of your body, people say, well, I don't even believe you can do that. And you go, well, you know, if you can, and I think you can, while you are gone from your body, what is your body up to? And you go, most likely, there's an evil spirit there just chomping at the bit to get into your body and have that experience. And they aren't going to do wonderful things. They're going to do all kinds of things, you know. They want to look at pornography with natural eyes. They want to feel those feelings when you do stuff like that. And of course, there's possessions and things like that. Don't leave your body and don't give your body over to something else. I do really worry sometimes that my eldest daughter dabbled in these sorts of things. And it's been a bad road for her. I don't know if she's possessed. I don't know if she's one of those, it's called two-spirit. They've kind of slapped it on to, onto the LGBTQ thing. And I'll tell you what I think two-spirit is. I think two-spirit is when you essentially share your body with a demon. And I wouldn't be surprised if Shayna is some kind of little cringing figure inside of her body that's mostly being run by a demon that she has welcomed at one point. I don't know if she feels very like she welcomes it now, but they may be in control and she may just be hiding. I don't know. I've I've prayed this way that God will will intervene if this is what's happening. It's a hard thing, though. Sometimes you've just gone down a road to that point, and there's just no particular way back. Everybody says, well, you can't ever do anything wrong that God can't save you from. And you go, there's some things you can do that God cannot intervene toward. It doesn't mean that you can't try to stop and turn around, but you may be in a situation where you're caught up in something that you can't escape. And then it really is your choice. You know? So anyway, sorry to say that's true. So, and I'm wondering if I want to really, really publish this one, but I'm going to. This is Cohen Meanderer. We're talking about, you know, I don't know what to call it, idleness, the ups and downs of idleness. It's better not to be idle than to be idle without a good purpose. I just need to slow down my mind. And I also find that helps me to have, I hope they're positive, spiritual experiences. And I think this is more and more a good thing to say and do for the coming generation. They have minds that are just going a million miles an hour. And it's an important skill to have, is to be able to slow down, to find a way to slow down and let the Lord influence your life. He doesn't want every encounter with you to be sending some angel down to strike you dumb so you can actually think about things. You know, that's not really how he works anyway. So, yeah, I need to let you go. This is Jason Emerald. And you've been listening to Cohen Meander. Have a great day.